This is your WrestleMania Backlash review for Sunday, May 8th, 2022. It is Mother's Day, the show that Joey Styles wasn't good enough to call. Some say that he's still upset about it all these years later. Tonight was an example of what happens when you come into a show with fairly low expectations. I don't know anybody who was overly excited about this pay-per-view tonight. It was a show. It felt like something on the calendar that they had a date reserved, they had a building booked, they had to do it, and so we ended up with a card, and Backlash is mostly WrestleMania rematches, hence the name Backlash, so it's not really a big surprise they would have multiple WrestleMania rematches on one show. But that was the vast majority of what we had on the card tonight. But we all know the story about the tag team title unification match that never was. Match they were advertising for weeks on television, the Usos RK-Bro winner-take-all tag team title unification, which I had hoped they would have gone through with, and they ended up not doing it. They pulled the match in favor of a six-man tag, non-title, no titles on the line, no stipulations, no stakes of any kind, but there really wasn't a whole lot to get excited about. You know, coming into this show tonight, the build-up and the booking was a letdown. But then we come to the event tonight, and the talent goes out there, and they did something incredible. The talent went out there, and they did their job, and they delivered. They went out there, and they knocked it out of the park, I think, for the most part, up and down the card. Really, everything on this show except two matches, and you can probably guess what those two matches were without me even telling you, I thought delivered. The theme of the night, WrestleMania rematch after WrestleMania rematch that was better than the original match at WrestleMania last month. And in a lot of those cases, the WrestleMania matches that we got last month, they were not bad. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins had one of the best matches on either night of WrestleMania this year. Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey did not. That way, they went the complete opposite way. Edge and AJ Styles went out there and had a good match, but I thought they could have a better match. And tonight they did. They went out there and they had a much better match, I thought, than they had at WrestleMania, and I didn't hate that match. So this was a common theme throughout the night. The talent went out there, as is often the case. They're not always supported by the booking or the writing on the shows. When you put them in the ring on a pay-per-view, you give them time, you give them 15, 20 minutes to go out there and do what they do best. More often than not, they're going to deliver. The talent is there. Nobody is denying the talent up and down the WWE roster. What we always talk about most of the time, week after week, is the support or the lack thereof that they're given on television in terms of the storylines, in terms of the matches that they're putting together. Are they compelling? Are they not compelling? Wasn't expecting much coming into this show tonight. This was, in many ways, a filler show. But I thought what ended up happening is they went out there and they had a very good show. One that I wasn't terribly excited about coming in, and they exceeded my expectations. And the two matches that were sort of the duds of the show, even those matches weren't terrible. There was nothing overly terrible about the Bobby Lashley-Omos match or the Baron Corbin Madcap Moss match. I've seen worse. There was just nothing about them that was terribly exciting either. But we had the Bloodline tonight. It was Roman Reigns. It was the Usos taking on Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. And if you had watched the end of SmackDown on Friday night, I think it was pretty apparent what the outcome of this match tonight was going to be. And I was hoping, I was really hoping that they would go in the direction of what I had pitched and what I had suggested, not just because it was the idea that I came up with, but the reason I came up with it is because I think it would have been very effective. And tonight only solidified that in my mind when I listened to and watched the reaction that Randy Orton got in that main event tonight. The biggest star in that entire match was not Drew McIntyre. It wasn't even Roman Reigns. It was Randy Orton. The people in Providence were big into Randy Orton on this show. And the other night, I suggested that Randy Orton be the one to win the match for his team. If I were booking this, I would have the babyfaces go over. The Bloodline wins everything. The Bloodline is on top of the world. They have been for months, to the point where a lot of people are starting to get sick and tired of the Bloodline. Since no titles were on the line tonight, you could have had the babyfaces go over. Why not give Randy Orton the win? Let him beat Roman Reigns with an RKO, which we saw in the main event, and the place exploded. Now imagine if he would have covered Reigns and gotten the three count. And what that would have done, it would have set up a championship match at Hell in a Cell next month and put some more distance between now and whenever they decide to go to Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, because we all know that's the direction. We all know we're going to Roman and Drew. We know what the destination is. The only question is, which pay-per-view do they do it on? Do they do it at Hell in a Cell? Do they do it at Money in the Bank? Do they wait until SummerSlam? Can they wait that long? They don't really have anybody else. They're probably going to try to shoehorn Nakamura in there. But you could have gotten a pay-per-view match out of it with Randy Orton. Instead, they had the Bloodline go over. I wouldn't have done that. But I thought those six guys went in there and they had an excellent match. I thought the main event was a lot of fun and the crowd was very much into it. Ronda Rousey is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. She went in there tonight in her I Quit match with Charlotte Flair and took the title. Again, no big surprise. Ronda Rousey losing two pay-per-view matches in a row. Ronda Rousey going to go in there and say, I quit? I don't think so. So to me, the outcome was never in doubt. But they went out there and they had a much better match than the one they had at WrestleMania last month. We had Rhea Ripley being unveiled as the third member, the new member, the newest addition to Judgment Day. It was on the WrestleMania stream just last month when Damian Priest showed up unexpectedly and left with Edge. And I just thought to myself, man, you know who would make a great member of this group? This group didn't even have a name at that point. But do you know who would make a great member of this group? Rhea Ripley. And here we are 1 month later and they did the right thing. Rhea Ripley as a heel, now a member of Judgment Day. She provides the assist to Edge, who picks up yet another win over AJ Styles. We had Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, which opened the show tonight, going out there and doing exactly what they did at WrestleMania. They went out there and they delivered. They went out there and they tore the house down. If you're not going on last, you want to go on first. Not a bad position for them to be in. Start the show hot. And that's exactly what they did. So we'll get into all of it here. And I have some other thoughts on, like I said, what I thought overall was a very enjoyable show. Was it a filler show? Yes. Did this show have to happen? No. But they went out there and the talent delivered. And that's all you can really ask for.
Moo.
Hit that like button.
Moo.
Moo. Moo. Move on over there and hit that like button. Hey, Paul Hamilton just dropped a $100 Solomonster Super Chat, the Moo Super Chat. It's funny, I was just talking about Edge and Judgment Day. That goes back to when we thought the name of the group might have something to do with the whole Mountain of Omnipotence thing. Moo. I said, you can't call the group Moo. Moo is a terrible name, but Moo is a great super chat. Paul, thank you. He says, under promise, but over deliver. Good rule in life. I always say that. I live by that credo. Under promise and over deliver. Don't ever over promise and under deliver. There's nothing worse than that. Don't call yourself the best and then come in second place. Be modest. And then blow them all away. It's the motto I live by. But hit that like button, as I said. Hit subscribe if you are new here. Welcome. Super chats are open. When you see them coming in, I'm going to be reading all of them. All of your super chats will be read live here on the air. If you have questions and comments about tonight's pay-per-view, send them on in. I do appreciate your support here on the channel. You guys are what keeps this channel going. So let's move along. I said we had a hot opener here, and we did. We had Seth Rollins one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. And you know it really is a WrestleMania rerun show when the talent are coming out there in the exact same gear that they were wearing at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins wearing the exact same thing, the exact same robe, the exact same tights that he was wearing at WrestleMania. I'm sure he probably spent a pretty penny on it, so I can understand that. You wear it once, and then you put it away. You never wear it again. Why not get some more use out of it? I mean, they have the WrestleMania logo on this show. It's basically just another version of WrestleMania. So why not? So it was cat and mouse early on with Rollins. He was countering some of Cody's moves. Of course, Cody has the drop down uppercut that he usually does. He went for it, and Rollins stuffed the attempt. He was basically showing him here, I'm prepared now. Unlike WrestleMania last month where I didn't know who my opponent was going to be, now I do. You're not going to pull one over on me. So that was sort of the story here at the beginning of this match. Rollins turned Cody inside out on a clothesline on the floor. Cody took a great bump. I always call it, it's the Rikishi bump. Even back when he was, before he was Rikishi, he was playing Fatu, the man who can make a difference. One of those crappy gimmicks in WWF in 95. I would always watch him. And the thing that always caught my attention was he would get turned inside out on that clothesline. And for a guy as big as he was, and he wasn't as big as he would become later on physically, he would take this sweet ass inside out, turn this guy inside out clothesline bump. And that was the bump that Cody took here. Jimmy Smith on commentary. You know, Jimmy Smith, I have not said a lot about Jimmy Smith, which is good. It's good. It's almost like the referee rule. If you're a referee in wrestling, or if you're a baseball umpire or a referee in some other sport, you almost want to just blend into the background, right? You're not the focal point. You just want to be there, do your job, do a good job, and almost be invisible so people don't even notice you. And I haven't said anything about Jimmy Smith because he's been largely fine. You know, they brought him in to be the commentator on Raw when the Adnan Virk thing was a failure. And he's done a fine job. He's done perfectly fine as an announcer on TV. So I haven't mentioned his name. But he made a comment tonight, which may have been fed to him. It may not be his fault. But, you know, when you're on television working for WWE, you are the face. You are one of the faces of the company. And so you're going to take the heat when you say something stupid. Jimmy Smith on commentary reminded us early in this match that WrestleMania was Cody's first match in a WWE ring in 6 years. Now, we've seen Cody on television since then. Cody's wrestled at least two, maybe three matches on TV since WrestleMania. It's not like WrestleMania was his only match. But he accurately pointed out that WrestleMania was his first match in a WWE ring in 6 years. And then he made the comment, he goes, there could still be some ring rust for Cody Rhodes. And I kind of stopped for a second just to say, wait, did he really just say that? Am I hearing this correctly? Did he mention ring rust on a man who had not wrestled in WWE in 6 years, but it's not exactly a secret where he has been over these last 6 years, even if they don't want to acknowledge those three little initials, which, by the way, they had no problem doing on the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which was a great episode. I'm going to try to have a little review up for it on the channel this week as a little YouTube extra. I think that Jimmy Smith may have to pay closer attention to some of the content on his own network and go take a gander at the Broken Skull Sessions, where they were speaking openly about what Cody has been doing over these past 6 years. Thankfully, Corey Graves was on commentary sitting right next to him, and he butted in and said, you know, what was it? Corey Graves butted in, and he made the comment. He had enough sense to basically call him out on that stupid comment, so... Again, whether he just said that himself or whether or not that was fed to him, that was a pretty fucking dumb thing for him to say. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it was all just the AEW stuff and the Bullet Club stuff and the Ring of Honor stuff. Maybe it was all just a fever dream. Maybe it never really happened. Maybe Cody was taking after his grandfather and he got into the plumbing business. He's been a plumber over the last 6 years. He's got plenty of shit that he could shovel through in this company. Boy, you know, a plumber can get paid really well. You become the official plumber of WWE. The pipes get a little backed up with all the bullshit we hear sometimes. Cody could do very well for himself. Maybe he's been a plumber over the last 6 years, like fucking Super Mario. And then one day he decided to come back. Maybe that's what Cody's been up to. So Cody hit a great delayed vertical superplex from the middle rope. There was a springboard Cody cutter that connected, but Rollins kicked out at two. Ed says, Cody's just been sitting around for years talking to himself about Dusty. He's just been sitting at home on the lazy boy, killing time. So there was a disaster kick attempt by Cody that Rollins countered into a buckle bomb in the corner. Rollins followed that up with a frog splash, but Cody got a shoulder up. Rollins went up for the Phoenix Splash. Cody rolled out of the way. Seth landed on his feet. But Cody caught him with a super kick, then went up top for something. I don't know what he was going for or planning exactly. But Rollins jumped up on the ropes to cut him off, and he hit a top rope superplex, immediately rolled through into the Falcon Arrow. We've seen him hit that spot many times before. There was a crossroads by Cody, who hooked the leg for the pin at one point on Rollins. And they did the spot. They did the spot from the Rollins-Neville match, the title match they had on Raw back in 2015. I believe it was 2015. Which is one of my favorite television matches in WWE in the last decade. I love that match. I love that spot that they did in that match where Neville hit the red arrow and the place was coming unglued. They thought for sure this man was going to become the WWE champion. And he went to cover Seth, but he pulled him. He hooked the leg with so much momentum that Seth's foot was on the ropes or in the ropes. And so the referee couldn't hit the three. And Neville thought he had won, and the people thought maybe he had won, but he basically broke up his own pin attempt. It didn't work as well here. It was better in that match the way they executed it. It was the same spot, basically. It made me think of that match. He pulled him so hard, though, that Rollins' leg ended up in the ropes. Cody went up. He went for a moonsault. He missed. He crashed and burned on the landing. Rollins then followed that with a pedigree. But Cody kicked out. And there was a point in here where Cody tried for a pedigree of his own. I think it came before this spot. Now, he didn't hit it, but he hooked the legs for the pedigree position. And the crowd came alive. They wanted to see Cody hit this pedigree, but he didn't do it. Rollins mocked Cody. He started doing the old dusty punches. Cody tried for a crossroads, which Rollins avoided. And Cody set Rollins up for a vertebraker, but Rollins rolled out of it. Rollins shoved Cody into the ropes, rolled him up, grabbed a fistful of tights, which the referee did not see. Cody, though, rolled through, and he held the tights, and he got the 1-2-3 and picked up the win here in this match. Even though Cody is the babyface, and I can't even believe I have to say this, but apparently there were a shit ton of people just based on my own replies that I was getting on Twitter. Because I put a tweet up, you know, praising the match. I really liked the match. And I got tweet after tweet from people saying, does this mean that Cody is going heel? I'm like, what are you talking about? Going heel? What are you, out of your mind? And I think there were a lot of people, a lot more than I would expect, who saw him hook the tights and automatically thought, well, that's a heel move. He must be going heel. What's going on here? That doesn't make any sense. Did you not see 2 seconds before this, Rollins tried the exact same thing to him? All he was doing, he just rolled through and tried the exact same thing on Rollins that Rollins tried to use on him. Tit for tat. You know, what's good for the goose. Turnabout's fair play. Use whatever expression you want. It's not a heel turn. Calm down. I don't know. Maybe people didn't see it. It was clear as day to me. 2 seconds before, Rollins tried the exact same thing. All he was doing was giving him a taste of his own medicine. In his case, it worked. He is not going heel. This is not heel Cody coming out. Calm down. I thought this was an excellent opener. 20 minutes of goodness between these two. And I thought it was even better than their match at WrestleMania. And I thought their match at WrestleMania was excellent. That match and the Becky Lynch-Bianca Belair match were the two best matches on either night of WrestleMania this year. And even still, I thought this was the better of the two matches. I mean, that match, it had the Cody return, and there was a certain emotion that match had. Maybe that wasn't, you know, this match didn't have. But as a match, I thought this was better than last month. And here's the other thing about that finish. So Rollins was, and he was incredulous when it was over. He couldn't believe it. He was yelling at the referee, how could you miss that? He had my tights. So what the finish does, doing the finish this way, by doing it, it gives Rollins an out now to come on TV, you know, tomorrow night and complain and cry about the fact that Cody had to cheat. And the only reason he won is because he cheated. So it gives Rollins that out, and now it sets us up for one more match between the two of them next month in Chicago at Hell in a Cell. And I just realized, Chicago. We got two pay-per-views in Chicago next month. I didn't realize Hell in a Cell was also in Chicago. But the best part about this, no 50-50 booking. What did I say in my predictions? No 50-50 bullshit. Cody Rhodes, he's not going to necessarily go undefeated before he eventually gets his title match. He will lose. And that's okay if he does. It's not the end of the world. But so early into his run, there was no need to beat him. He beat Rollins last month. He should beat him again. That's exactly what they did. And I'll tell you something else. If they go to Hell in a Cell next month, whether it's in the cell or not, they're going to have a third match. Cody should win that too. It's exactly what I talked about in my predictions on the podcast. I compared it to Triple H and Batista and their program in 2005. Triple H's mission was to put Batista over as strongly as he possibly could. Batista pinned him at WrestleMania. Batista beat him at Backlash. And Batista beat him at Vengeance. Ironically, in a Hell in a Cell match. He won all three of those matches. That is not something that you saw very often with Triple H back then, during that period. They should do the exact same thing here. Make a statement. Put Cody over in the strongest possible way. Because Cody is the guy who eventually is going to go on to challenge for and win the championship. I already felt that way. Watching the Broken Skull sessions and listening to him talk about, well, everything, just talk in general, but talk about, you know, what it would mean to him and his family to go and win the WWF title. And I mean, multiple times during the interview, he couldn't help himself because Austin in his studio, he's got the winged eagle. He's got the smoking skull belt hanging on one side of the wall, and he's got the old classic winged eagle on the other side. And for those wondering, you know, why is it winged eagle? I don't even know what I'm saying. I was going to say all weagles have wings. All eagles have wings. That's true, unless the eagle is injured. The reason it's called the winged eagle is because the wings, and you can see it over my shoulder right now. There you go. Big eagle and winged eagle. The winged eagle's wings are spread. That's the difference. Whereas on the Big Eagle, it's a little bit different for those wondering why it's the Winged Eagle. But Cody couldn't stop acknowledging it. He kept looking over his shoulder and saying, that's why I'm back. That's why I'm back. Right there. Right there. You see it right on your screen right there. Boom. There it is. That's why Cody is back. We're not going to get the Winged Eagle, no matter how hard Cody may try. I know Cody brought back the old Intercontinental title design. But we are now in the era of the logo belt. WWE loves their logo belts. Every time there's a Super Bowl winner, every time there's a World Series winner, every time the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup, well, it doesn't matter. The first thing they do, they have that logo belt made up with those side plates and they mail it out. And there it is in the championship parade. They're not going to change. It is admirable, though. Cody may try. I don't expect him to be successful. But this was great stuff. So now we go to Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley one-on-one against the Nigerian Giant, Omos, with MVP. He is now the Nigerian Giant. In case you didn't know, he's very big. So now he's the Nigerian Giant. I got a Bobby Lashley profile video before the match because I have the ad-free version of Peacock. I got a couple of questions from people. Why do they air so many of these personality packages or whatever? The reason they do that is because you're obviously paying for the ad-free version of Peacock. There's the ad-supported version, and then there's the more expensive ad-free version. If you are on the ad-free tier, you're going to get the seemingly sometime. I mean, here it was Lashley, which made sense because he was coming out next. But like at WrestleMania, I was getting these random packages on Sasha Banks and just all, you know, Bianca Belair and these different people. All that is, for the people who have the ad-supported version, they're getting a bunch of ads. For the rest of us, they just kind of put these video packages, they stick them in there to kill time until the ads are done. That's why they do that. But here it made sense because Lashley was coming out next for his match with Omos. So Lashley had a tall order ahead of him. I did not envy Bobby Lashley coming into this show because having a singles match with Omos is probably one of the hardest things that you could do because Omos is not that good. He's decent at the limited stuff that he can do. But what he can do is very limited because he's still relatively inexperienced and he's very, very big. So there are going to be, I don't expect him to be doing fucking, you know, code reds in there and destroyers. Although I'm sure if he was in AEW, he would be doing them on TV every week. But he's very limited in what he can do. You know, he does the basic giant stuff. Bobby Lashley is a big guy. It's not often that he's in the ring with somebody who dwarfs him. So it's a different role for him to be in. His role tonight was not about Lashley. His role tonight was to make the big guy look good, because in the end, he was going to go over. There's never a doubt in my mind who was going to come out of this match with the W. This was about building Omos. It was not about building Lashley. It was Omos' first match with MVP in his corner. You really think he's going to go in there and lose? Lashley was laying in punches early on. He had the giant up against the ropes until MVP jumped up on the apron for the distraction. That gave Omos the opening for a foot to the face. He caught Lashley with a running avalanche in the corner. And he applied some sort of a head vice. I don't know. It looked like he was trying to unscrew his head and pop it off his shoulders. Lashley fought out of it. Omos shoved him over the top rope to the floor. Back inside, we got a snake eyes and a running boot from Omos. There were a couple of awkward spears by Lashley that did not take Omos off his feet. Lashley, though, got the big guy tied up in the ropes. He's the giant, right? So they have to go with the Andre the Giant spot. Andre used to, especially in his later years where he really couldn't do as much, he would have the babyface knock him backwards into the ropes, and Andre would get tied up in the ropes. And it would be a good time for him to just sort of take a load off and relax there for a few minutes and not do anything. So he would just kind of hang out in the ropes. And so he got Omos tied up in the ropes. Lashley was hammering away on him. MVP got involved. Lashley left the ring to go after MVP, tried to put him in the hurt lock. Omos, who had gotten free, brought him back into the ring. Lashley caught him with a flatliner and then attempted to place the hurt lock on Omos. And he got the fingers locked. Omos started to fade, but then he came back to life, and he backed up into the corner to try to break the hold, which he did. Lashley set up for another spear, but he ate a knee strike, and Omos posted him shoulder first in the corner. Lashley got hit right in the eye by MVP's cane when the referee was distracted, and Omos hit the tree slam for the win. The best thing I could say about this was an improvement on the match that these two had at WrestleMania, but again, it's the faintest of praise. It was the best singles match I've seen Omos have yet in his short time in WWE. Lashley did his part to make this work, and unlike the opener, I do not have any desire to see a third match between these two. But I have a feeling we're not done yet. In fact, I can guarantee you we're not done yet. Especially MVP using his cane to cost Lashley the match. Yeah, we ain't done yet. We had Edge one-on-one with AJ Styles. This was another WrestleMania rematch. This time with Damian Priest, supposedly barred from ringside. I say supposedly, because we did see Damian Priest here on this show. Shout out, by the way, to everybody who is joining us right now. We take a pause here and remind all of you that you guys can hit that like button. It does help out the video when you do so. I appreciate that, everybody who's done so far. Oh my God, Ed says they're going to put them in Hell in a Cell. Omos and Lashley? No. I have no interest whatsoever in seeing that. Maybe they'll put them in the Punjabi prison match. I actually would kind of like to see that, just out of, I have like a morbid curiosity about how Omos would do in a Punjabi prison match. Oh, man. Somebody said, wearing the plain black shirt. This ain't plain black shirt. There's something going on. You just can't see it. But this is actually one of the newer shirts that I picked up. Shout out to Juan. Thanks for the $2, Juan. Good to hear from you. So Edge and Styles. Styles hit a beautiful Acai moonsault right at the start of the match. He landed perfectly. It's almost like this AJ guy's been doing this for a while. Landed perfectly on the floor. Then he tried for an early phenomenal forearm, but Edge kicked Styles and he stuffed the attempt. AJ started selling the injured arm that Edge and Damian Priest had been targeting on TV. And Edge delivered a slingshot on the floor that sent Styles into the ring steps. And so Edge got the heat on AJ here for a while. Edge worked over the arm for a long time before AJ caught him right on the top of the head with the Pele kick. And then they had the same idea. They collided on a dual crossbody spot. Both guys went down. AJ recovered. He placed Edge on the top rope, and then he hit a Hurricane Rana off the top. Edge went right back to work, though, on the injured shoulder. He applied a crossface. Styles broke out. He locked on the calf crusher. Edge was screaming in agony. Eventually, though, he got the rope break. So earlier in the match, it was very brief. I didn't mention it. But earlier in the match, Edge had untied one of the turnbuckle pads, one of the middle turnbuckle pads. He didn't remove it. He just sort of untied it. Well, they came back to it here late in the match. He was holding on to it for dear life as AJ was trying to pull him out of the corner. He was trying to give him a suplex. Finally, he yanks Edge out of the corner backwards. And AJ delivered a release. German suplex took Edge over. When Edge went over, though, so too did the turnbuckle pad, which had already been loosened. So that turnbuckle pad went flying. Edge got up, and he came charging in at AJ. AJ sidestepped him, though, and Edge crashed into the exposed steel. Styles covered him. Edge managed to kick out. Edge got a spear on AJ, covered him for the near fall. Edge went for another one, but Styles caught him with a knee, and he hit the Styles Clash with his one good arm. With his one good arm, AJ hit the Styles Clash, and Edge was able to kick out. Styles set up for the phenomenal forearm. Instead, though, he decided to climb to the top rope. He opted to take it to the top. When all of a sudden, here comes Damian Priest. The supposedly banned Damian Priest, who is not able, he is not supposed to be allowed anywhere near ringside. He comes walking out. He points to some imaginary line on the ground as AJ is looking, going, what the hell are you doing out here? And Priest is pointing. He's pointing to the floor. See, as long as I don't pass this imaginary line, I'm technically not at ringside. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. And it's why, you know, if you're going to do a stipulation like this, it's such a cop-out. You know, you keep doing shit like this and nobody's going to care. So-and-so is barred from ringside. Well, what does it matter if they're going to walk out there anyway? So he didn't come down to the ring and physically get involved. The whole point is you want to prevent the person from coming out and distracting because, you know, these people, these wrestlers, especially these baby faces, heard of dumb baby face syndrome. I coined that phrase many years ago on the podcast. These people are very easily distracted. I've said they're like cats. You shine a light or you take a piece of yarn and you drag it around on the floor. Fucking cat goes nuts. These people are very easily distracted. If you play music, you play someone's theme music, it doesn't matter if they're about to hit their big finish, they'll stop whatever they're doing. I certainly hope they don't live in a neighborhood where the kids next door start playing music. Whatever they're in the middle of doing in their house, they'll just stop. They'll be like, "What? Where's that coming from?" Because they're very easily distracted. That's why you don't want Damian Priest out there, but nobody stopped him. He said, "Barred from ringside, I don't give a fuck." And out he walks. So, of course, AJ is distracted by all this. So, all of a sudden, Finn Balor runs out. I know a lot of people thought Finn Balor might be going heel. I didn't think so. I didn't think, at least not tonight, I didn't think that was the direction they were going in. It would have been good for Balor, probably, compared to what they've been doing with him. You know, for him to do something. But I didn't think he was going heel on the show.
With a tear in my eye!
Thank you, Bobby's World, with a tear in his eye. Thank you for the 1992 Royal Rumble Super Chat. That's right. Damn those kids. Damn those kids and their loud music. That's what I say. Wait until the summertime. When they're having block parties outside my window, I'll be lucky if I'm able to stream. The music is so loud. You know what the fucked up thing is about YouTube? The music will be so loud. It could be houses down. Doesn't matter. The music could be so loud. It will come through on the microphone. and you'll get one of those copyright warnings from YouTube, as if you're playing the music on your stream. It could be coming from 10 houses down. It doesn't matter. So we'll have to come up with some creative ways around that if there's anyone having any summer block parties this season. We'll cross that bridge if we get to it. Balor comes out. He's rolling around with Priest out there trying to help AJ, trying to make the save. And the two of them end up fighting off. But while all of that is going on, and the referee is distracted, there's a hooded, masked figure who has emerged. And this person, whoever they are, they come out and they shove AJ off the top rope. Edge applies a crossface, immediately then transitions into a choke. AJ goes nighty-night. The referee stops the match, and Edge is your winner. He gets the submission win here in this match. After the match, this masked person climbs into the ring. They kneel down beside Edge, stand back up. The person pulls down the hood to reveal Rhea Ripley. Now with jet black hair. She's got the dye job in her hair. It's just jet black. And Rhea Ripley is the newest addition to Judgment Day. I thought that Edge and AJ Styles had a very good match, I thought. And like the opener, it was better than their match at WrestleMania. So, like I said, there was a common theme here on this show among most, if not all, of the WrestleMania rematches. In fact, I think all of the WrestleMania rematches were better tonight than the originals were at WrestleMania last month. WrestleMania, Cody and Seth had the better match. I still say they had the better match even tonight, but this was very good. Rhea Ripley was absolutely the right choice for this spot. You were watching my WrestleMania review last month. You know how I feel about this. I've been pitching this and talking about this for a month. So when she revealed herself, and I could tell who it was. You watch like the body type and everything and the way certain people move around. And Harold Warren with the Bully the Clown $30 super chat. Fuck Bully Ray. Thank you, Harold. I will be reading your message a little bit later on. See, when I hear the crowd, you stop what you're doing. You listen to the people. You listen to what the people are saying. But Rhea Ripley being added to this group was absolutely the right move to make as far as a third member of the faction. It finally frees her up. I don't want to say dead weight because that Liv Morgan is good. I don't want to say Liv Morgan is dead weight. But in a way, Liv Morgan, Nikki A.S.H., you know, what they have in common is they were dead weight in a lot of ways to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is better than being stuck in a makeshift tag team. Rhea Ripley should be competing for the Raw Women's Championship or the SmackDown Women's Championship if she was on SmackDown. She did the tag team thing with Nikki long enough, only to end up in another tag team. Thankfully, it was short-lived. No pun intended. It was short-lived. So, thankfully now, her tag team days are behind her. And now she's a heel, which is the right role for her because the champion on Raw is Bianca Belair, a babyface. And now it is perfectly set up for there to be a program this summer. They could do a whole series of matches with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. And I said this a few weeks ago, Rhea Ripley, I would have her winning the Raw Women's Championship from Bianca at SummerSlam. That's the match to do. That's the program to build to next. Give it a couple of months and you put the two of them together in a program, you can get a whole summer's worth of matches out of those two. That's the money program to go with. Those are the two women that you could build both of these divisions around for the next 5+ years. It's Rhea and Bianca. I said that when they called them up and they each had title matches at WrestleMania 36, or 37, rather. WrestleMania 37, it was Rhea Ripley against Asuka, it was Bianca against Sasha, and I said both of them ended up as champions. These are the two women that you can build around. These right here, this is the future. These are your faces of the women's division. I think two of them would work very well together. So I was very pleased to see her out there tonight, and I look forward to seeing what they have in store for her. We have got Charlotte Flair one-on-one with Ronda Rousey. I quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The crowd spent half the match chanting for tables that never came, because I figured they're going to save that for the main event, which is exactly what happened. We did get one, just one. We got one table bump in the main event, but they were saving it. So we never did get tables here in this match. This match continued that theme of being better than their WrestleMania counterparts. The bell rang. They charged at each other right away. Flair hit a high-angle German suplex. Rousey, she got folded up. She landed right on the back of her head. And Charlotte took her outside, and she was smashing her up against the barricade. She was laying in some hard chops. The referee asked Rousey if she wanted to quit. Are you ready to quit? We're like 2 minutes into this match. And the referee is asking Rowdy Ronda here if she wants to quit. That would have been something if she would have been like, yes, I quit. That would have been something. She should have slapped the referee for even asking the question. So she mumbled something, mumbled no or whatever, and then the match continued. Flair pulled out a kendo stick from under the ring. Already I was getting visions of Dynamite a couple of weeks ago when we had that Philadelphia street fight with Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb. This was better than that, by the way. Kendo sticks galore. So she pulls out the kendo stick. Ronda grabs it away from her, and Charlotte runs away. She runs to the back, disappears. When Charlotte comes back out, she's got two kendo sticks, because two is better than one. Rousey grabs the kendo stick. She starts beating on Charlotte with them. Referee asked her if she wanted to quit, and Charlotte yelled, hell no. Charlotte grabbed the camera off one of the cameraman's shoulders, and she took this camera, and she chucked it at Ronda. She threw it. She missed. But she took this camera and threw it at Ronda Rousey. They brawl through the crowd. Flair threw a drink in Rousey's eyes and then tossed her into the wall. Flair wrapped Rousey around the railing, but she refused to quit. And Charlotte tried to hit Ronda with a chair. Ronda blocked the chair shot. Flair ran back into the ring. Charlotte got Rousey up. Actually, not in the ring. She was at the ringside area. Charlotte managed to get Ronda up in a powerbomb position. And she powerbombed her into the barricade. Rousey recovered. She tried for Piper's Pit on the floor. Flair, though, escaped and pushed her face first right into the ring post. Charlotte climbed to the top. Rousey cut her off. We got no shitty Charlotte moonsaults in this match. Maybe that's why I like this so much better than their WrestleMania match. We didn't have any of that moonsault nonsense. So Ronda cut her off. Locked on an armbar from the apron, in the ropes. She had Charlotte's arm all tangled up. They were hanging upside down. They both took a nasty spill to the floor, so that broke that hold. And then the funniest moment of the entire match, and one of the reasons why I do enjoy Pat McAfee so much, even though he can be overbearing sometimes, but for the most part, I do very much enjoy Pat's work. And this was one of those moments. So in the crowd, and I will show you here in just a second, but in the crowd, in the front row, was a small child wearing a Fiend mask. And Pat McAfee saw this. They showed the fan was clearly on camera, and Pat McAfee sees this. And he wonders if, in fact, that is the Fiend in the crowd. And I just thought, and there it is right there. And I thought to myself, boy, Bray has really lost some size in his time off, if that's the Fiend. Now look at that boy next to the Fiend. Okay, there's a girl in pink. Look at the boy next to the girl. Doesn't it look like he's flipping off Charlotte or whoever's in the ring? Doesn't it look like he's flipping that person off? I don't know who he's flipping off, but look at that. Look at that. It's like mini Fiend. Remember when WWE brought in the all the little midget wrestlers back in the 90s, we had Mini Mankind, we had Mini Goldust, we had Mini Vader. This is like Mini Fiend, El Hijo del Fiend, here in the front row. But I laughed when he said that. I just thought, well, yeah, that is the Fiend. Maybe it was just hearing that on commentary. Instead of Child's Play, it's Child's Bray. Who is that? Do not pass go. Yeah, Pat doesn't care. I get that impression. Pat doesn't care. That's part of the reason I like him so much. He doesn't give a shit. That's why we all love Pat McAfee. So Flair attacked Rousey with chair shots at ringside and then hit natural selection on the chair in the ring. Ronda, though, refused to quit. Flair locked on the figure eight. Rousey reached over, grabbed the chair that was laying there, used it to break the hold. Charlotte regained control. She set up a chair, grabbed the microphone, and told Rousey, "This is your last chance. This is your last chance to say I quit." She wished Rousey a happy Mother's Day. Ronda, though, caught her in the arm bar in the chair. So she had Charlotte's arm. She pulled Charlotte's arm through the chair, and she kind of had the arm bar locked on. Charlotte was refusing to quit. Rousey said she was hoping she would say that. And then she called her a bitch. And then she wrenched down on the arm. Charlotte was screaming in agony. And finally, Charlotte had no choice but to say the words, "I quit." And Ronda Rousey is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. The thing about these two women that has been consistent through every single match that these two, singles match anyway, every singles match that I have ever seen the two of them have, and this is only the third one, but it goes all the way back to their first match 4 years ago at Survivor Series when Becky got her nose broken and Charlotte stepped in to take the match with Ronda. The consistent theme among all of their matches, they are a very physical style. They're very physical with each other. Ronda comes out of these matches, you got bruises and welts all over her body. Charlotte's got bruises and welts all over her body. Sometimes they're a little bloody. That first match they ever had at Survivor Series was very physical, and they also had the kendo sticks and everything in that match. The match at WrestleMania I didn't think was very good, but it was a very physical match that they had last month. And this match was the same way. This was a very physical match between the two of them. Now, physical doesn't always mean good, but I thought this match was, I don't know, say leaps and bounds, but this match was definitely better than what they gave us, I thought, at WrestleMania last month. So this was the superior of the two matches. Now, later in the show, Kayla Braxton was in the back to give us a medical update on Charlotte Flair. And she said that the update from WWE doctors is that Charlotte suffered a fractured radius. And thankfully, we had Pat McAfee on commentary right after they cut back to ringside to show the announcers. We had Pat McAfee there to translate to say that Charlotte has a broken arm. So that's the injury update, the storyline injury update on Charlotte Flair. She has a broken arm, which tells me that that's their way of writing Charlotte off television for the time being. Could be for a few weeks, could be for a few months, we don't know. I do think it would be a good idea to give Ronda some space now that she's the champion and give Charlotte a little vacation from television for a while. And it sounds like that may be what they have in mind here. More importantly, if she's got a quote-unquote broken arm, that means we're not going to get the rematch at Hell in a Cell, which is fine with me. I have no desire to see a third match between these two. Any more than I have a desire to see a third match with Lashley and Omos. Rhodes and Rollins? Sure. Ronda and Charlotte? I have no interest. I have no interest. Everything they did on television and that pull-apart brawl on SmackDown Friday night was probably the best of all the TV segments that they've done together. But everything else they had them doing, the promos or the contract signing or the beat the clock bullshit, was all garbage. The build-up and everything on TV with these two sucked heading into this show. The match tonight was better than anything we got from them on TV. But you're going to give me another 4 weeks of television with these two to build up a third match? No, thank you. Problem is, there is no obvious challenger now for Ronda Rousey. Now, I do think that they can do something, and I'd like to at some point, maybe it won't be right away, but I would like to see them do something with Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. I was kind of hoping they could get them together in some way, but maybe it's a feud. Maybe they can build Shayna Baszler up, and they can play off their friendship and their history together, and they can turn Shayna Baszler into a credible challenger for Ronda Rousey and the championship. But the other name I come back to, and she hasn't been on television in a very long time, but the last time we saw her, I do believe it was on SmackDown, is Bayley. Now, I think Bayley has unfinished business with Bianca on Raw, but Bayley should be back on television any week now. We might see Bayley back on SmackDown, and maybe she's next in line to start something with Ronda Rousey. Because who else is there? I mean, that's the problem, right? You take Charlotte out of the equation, you're left with, I was going to say Carmella and Zelina, but I believe that they're on Monday Night Raw, so you got Shotzi, you've got Aaliyah, well, you've got Xia Li. There you go. That's why they turned Xia Li heel in that one little backstage vignette, that little backstage promo she cut a few weeks ago on TV. Remember they dropped the whole protector gimmick out of nowhere? They built her up for weeks and weeks and weeks with these comic book vignettes that actually were really well done. She's the protector, and she was out there as a babyface, you know, protecting the babyfaces who were being, you know, double-teamed by the heels. And then all of a sudden, she disappeared. We didn't see her on television for weeks. And then in one, like, 15-second backstage segment, she basically said, "There's nobody here to protect anymore. There's nobody worth protecting. I'm just going to protect myself." And then we haven't seen her since. And I said at the time, what did I say at the time? Ronda Rousey is going to need people to beat coming out of her title win at Backlash over Charlotte. Well, now Ronda Rousey has the championship. She's going to need people to beat. Wouldn't surprise me at all if all of a sudden we see Xia Li making appearances as a heel on TV for the sole purpose of being built up for a match, even if it's just a television match, against Ronda Rousey so that Ronda has somebody to beat before she goes on to a bigger name. There's nobody else. Aaliyah, Xia Li, Shotzi. That's it. Sasha Banks and Naomi, they're doing the tag team thing right now. That's why I like the idea of doing something with Baszler as a singles. I think I'd go with Baszler. Or at least start building her up. We have Happy Corbin against Madcap Moss. I'm sure a lot of people went to go take a bathroom break, grab a snack, you know, gaze out the window, ponder their life here as this match was underway. Moss had the early advantage until Corbin took over with a giant choke slam and they slowed the pace down. There was a guy in the front row when they brawled outside the ring over by the barricade. There was a guy in the front row, full view of the cameras, just standing there right by Corbin and Moss as Corbin was beating down Madcap with a hook, an AEW hook t-shirt. And the hook t-shirt is very basic. It's in a certain font, but it's just the word hook. I recognized it right away. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So we got in full view. There it is. I'm telling you, this hooker's all over the place. I bet we have a lot of them in the chat tonight. We got, where are my hookers at? I know we got a lot of hookers in the chat tonight. Every Wednesday on Dynamite, they're all in there. They're all waiting. I bet you we got some closet hookers in this live chat right now. So Hook is spreading. He's spreading now. The popularity is spreading across multiple companies here. Who knows? Hook may be in WWE one day. Corbin hit a modified Made in Japan at one point. A modified Made in Japan. And then immediately hit a sort of standing running senton, which, again, this was new for him. I've not seen him try these moves before. Moss bounced off the ropes, knocked Corbin out to the floor with a tackle. He went out and he threw Corbin into the ring post. Moss hit a fall-away slam for a near fall, or as Scott Hall used to call it, the sack of shit. I don't think I'll ever look at the fall-away slam again as the fall-away slam. I will always think of it as, ever since Sean Waltman told that story after Scott Hall passed away. Because, you know, he would always do the fall-away slam in his matches. The guy would come off the ropes, he would catch them, and then he would throw them. But that's how Scott described the spot when he would put the matches together with his opponent. He would go, all right, sack of shit. I will never not think of that move now as anything but sack of shit. Moss set up for the punchline, which is his finish, but Corbin countered into a back suplex and then hit the deep six for a near fall. The finish came when Corbin went for his ring. He does that ring around the ring post spot where he leaves the ring and then quickly slides back into the ring to go for a clothesline. He went for that, but Moss countered with a sunset flip, and he got the 1-2-3. So this was a TV match, is what this was. This was a TV match, nothing more. The right man went over because Moss is the one that they're building up now. They're building Moss, not Corbin, so it was the right outcome. I thought this is one of the my rare misses here on this show with the prediction. Might have been my only one, actually. Actually, no, Edge won, so that I had predicted AJ to win. But no, I thought they would go with Corbin because they would extend the feud. They still might, but I'm hopeful that by Madcap winning this match, maybe we could finally move, you know, beyond this. And I keep saying it, you know, Moss himself is not bad. He's a great athlete. There could be something there with him. He looks, you know, he looks the part, but the gimmick sucks. Now, when he was with Corbin, you could say, well, the gimmick is supposed to suck because he's a heel, he's a lackey, that's his job. Well, he's not a heel and he's not a lackey anymore. And he's still coming out there, joke, dojo joke. And he's got the fucking, you know, the overalls or whatever it is that he's wearing. Not the overalls, the suspenders with the shorts. He looks ridiculous. He sounds ridiculous. If anybody was in desperate, dire need now of a repackaging, it is Madcap Moss. The fucking name, it's Madcap Moss. So now I'm hopeful that there can be some change and they can move him out of this stupid character. And then maybe there can be something with Moss. But as long as he's got the dumb name and the dumb look and the whole dumb character, he's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to. And the crowd really didn't care about this. You know, they gave it polite applause and everything, but they weren't overjoyed at seeing him win or anything. They didn't give a shit. Why should they? It's Happy Corbin against Madcap Moss. Are you kidding me? Why would anybody care? It's time for the main event. Hey, you like that, huh? Joke. It's ridiculous. I said the other night, what has happened to wrestling? Where, how far have we come from the glass shatter and all that stuff to joke. And then this guy walks out there looking like, I don't know what he looks like something out of fucking Oktoberfest or something. Put a mug in his hand and a silly hat on his head and he'll fit right in. We have Roman Reigns and the Usos against Randy Orton, Matt Riddle, and Drew McIntyre. No titles on the line, just a straight up 6-man tag. What was originally advertised to be a winner take all tag team championship unification between RK-Bro and the Usos morphed into a 6-man tag that supposedly WWE planned to do all along, and they never actually planned to do a unification. And I don't buy that because Roman Reigns was the one who came up with the idea on television in the first place. He was the one who wanted his cousins to go to Raw and to unify the tag team titles, and then 2 weeks ago, he's in the ring ripping up the contract for their match. Why? We don't know. There was some kind of change that occurred. We know that. Why, exactly why and when, we don't have all the details, but yeah, I don't buy that this was the plan from the very beginning. So Orton was the most over guy in this match when it started. He was the most over guy in this match when it ended. Randy Orton was over in Providence. I don't know if he's got any ties to the city. I know he wasn't born there, but boy, do they love Randy Orton in Providence. Loud Randy chants. He started out with Jimmy Uso. Riddle tagged in. He got some offense on Jimmy. Drew McIntyre tagged in. He was throwing poor Jimmy around. Jimmy was being beaten from pillar to post here at the beginning of this match. Finally, he crawled over to his corner. And he tagged out to the future Hollywood hero himself, Roman Reigns. He tags into the match. He starts pacing around like he's ready to throw down with Drew. And then he immediately tags right back out. And he tags in Jey Uso, and Roman is saying that he's the shot caller. I don't do what other people tell me to do. So he's back out on the apron. The Bloodline, they got heat on Riddle for a long time. And I do mean a long time. Many, 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 many minutes. They just beat on Riddle, and they beat him down and beat him down some more, and this went on forever. Riddle finally caught Jey with a leaping knee strike. He got the hot tag to Drew McIntyre. Reigns had already tagged into the match like 2 seconds before Riddle got the tag, and Reigns didn't think Riddle was going to get it. So now Drew is in. Roman realizes, ah, shit. now I got to get into this match because the Usos are down. And so we got our first face-off here in the middle of the ring between McIntyre and Reigns. They talked some shit. They exchanged right hands. Drew dropped him with a pair of clotheslines and a belly-to-belly throw. Jimmy ran in and Drew caught him with a neck breaker. McIntyre was setting up for the Claymore. But one of the Usos distracted him on the apron. That gave Roman the opening to hit the Superman punch. He worked over Drew for a little bit. Then he leaned in and he asked Paul Heyman, "Give me my belts." And Paul Heyman handed him the WWE title and the Universal title. And Roman posed and he held up both belts. He posed on both sides of the ring and he handed his belts back to Heyman. Then he decided to walk over and pop Riddle in the face with a cheap shot just for the hell of it, and he had a big smile on his face. When he turned around, though, McIntyre caught him with a Claymore, which Michael Cole completely missed. Because he's on commentary, he's going, did he hit it? Did he go for the Claymore? And the other announcers are like, yeah. I don't understand how he missed it. The announcers, they watch the monitors so that they can see what we're seeing. So if I saw it, and you saw it, the other announcer saw it. I don't know what Michael Cole was looking at. Maybe he was on his phone. He was scrolling Twitter. I saw that the Fightful Twitter account, I think, got hacked or something. They were sexting during the show tonight. Eventually, they deleted the tweets. They were talking about, you know, rubbing someone's thigh, and it was like fucking Fightful After Dark here during Backlash. I thought they were just so bored with the pay-per-view that Fightful just decided to start, sexting with people. Maybe Michael Cole, his attention was diverted. He was on the Fightful Twitter page while this was going on. He didn't see what happened. So the crowd badly wanted Randy Orton to tag into the match. They, not that they didn't care about Drew, but it does say something that they're building everything around the eventual battle between Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. And Drew may be the one to eventually take the championship off of Roman, finally. But Randy was the one who the people desperately wanted to see in this match. From the moment the match even started, they were chanting Randy's name. They weren't chanting Drew. They weren't chanting Riddle. They were chanting Randy. And so Orton got the tag. He came in. He took out Jay. He took out Jimmy. He dropped down. He was setting up for the RKO. But Jay rushed back into the ring. He sent him out to the floor. Reigns snuck up from behind. But Orton caught him with the RKO, and the place exploded. When he hit that RKO on Roman Reigns, oh my God, everybody came alive. Everybody was jumping up and down with joy. RKO to Jimmy. Jay, though, jumped in and broke up the pin just in the nick of time before Orton could pick up the win for his team. McIntyre was setting up for the Claymore, but Jimmy nailed him with a super kick, and then both Usos nailed McIntyre with stereo super kicks. Riddle tagged back in. He hit the Broton to Jay and then climbed up top, hit the floating bro, barely. Hit the floating bro, but he got a two count only. Riddle was setting up for an RKO to Jay Uso, who avoided it, and Jay got a pop-up neck breaker, which looked pretty cool. Orton, though, broke up that pin attempt. So these guys, at this point, these final minutes of the match, it was moving fast and furious here. So for as long as the beatdown went earlier in the match on Riddle, and it was kind of slow in the match, you know, it sort of slowed to a crawl. Things picked up in a big way here in these last few minutes. They were trading moves and counters and near falls back and forth, and the people were into it. They were hanging on to every near fall here. Out on the floor, Orton ran wild on Jimmy. Reigns, though, caught him with a Superman punch from out of nowhere. McIntyre came over, he sent Roman into the ring steps, and then he cleared off the announce table. This is why Charlotte and Ronda didn't get their table spot earlier. McIntyre clears off the announce desk. He was going to try to powerbomb Roman through the table, but Reigns delivered a uranage to Drew through the table instead. Back inside, Riddle and Jay, they were exchanging kicks. Jay got the better of it. He climbed up top, but Riddle popped up, jumped up top, hit an RKO off the top rope. So he has laid out Jey Uso with this RKO. People, you know, they react big to the move. And as soon as Riddle gets back to his feet, here comes Roman Reigns out of nowhere. He hits a spear, and he pins Riddle to win the match for the Bloodline, even though, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe Roman was the legal man. I didn't see a tag. Maybe it was a blind tag. I don't remember Roman Reigns tagging into the match. I don't believe he was the legal man, but I guess it doesn't matter. So, Roman Reigns wins the match for his team. An excellent match with an outcome that should have been predictable given how SmackDown went off the air on Friday night with the babyfaces getting the better of the Bloodline. As soon as that happened, I knew exactly how this match was going to end. I knew the Bloodline was going over. I was hoping that they would give a win to the babyfaces, because I do feel like Roman and really the entire Bloodline, they have beaten so many people. And they have gotten over for months now on so many people that at some point you got to give the good guys one. And I thought tonight, with nothing at stake and no titles on the line, would have been perfect for that. And they didn't do that. And instead they had Roman, as he always does. Roman picks up the win. But I stand by my idea. I think that it would have made more sense to have Randy Orton win this match. It would have certainly made the crowd very happy. But you could have gotten, absolutely, you could have gotten a title match at Hell in a Cell, even if it's just a one-off. Doesn't matter if he's one half of the tag team champions. Randy Orton will always be a top player in the company. He will always be in contention if you want to slide him into a world championship match. Nobody will think any less of it. Nobody will doubt it. Because the guy's won 14 world titles, I think. I mean, he's always been in that position. So for him to go in there and challenge Roman Reigns and say, I beat you with one RKO. All it takes is one. I did something that nobody else has done since December of 2019. Roman Reigns has not taken a pinfall loss in any match since December of 2019. And it was, of all people, a TLC to Baron Corbin. But that's how long it's been. So Roman getting pinned in this match, he doesn't lose his title. But all Orton has to do is go on TV and say, I did it once. I'll do it again. All I have to do is hit that move out of nowhere and boom, I take your titles. And you have the setup now for a match at Hell in a Cell. And you can put off the match with Drew and do Roman and Drew at Money in the Bank at Allegiant Stadium, or do it in Nashville at the stadium there at the end of July at SummerSlam. Now I don't know what they're going to do. They're probably going to go to Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, I don't see how that's a very believable or appealing match at all. You're going to headline Hell in a Cell with Roman Reigns against Shinsuke Nakamura, so we'll have to wait until television on, either Monday or Friday, I guess. We'll wait until television this week and see exactly what the situation there is going to be. But in any event, I thought it was an excellent main event. And I thought it was a fun way to cap off what overall was a very strong show tonight. The booking did not support the talent, but the talent came out anyway, and they, I thought, delivered on most of the matches here on this card, except two, which I didn't really give a shit about, but the rest of them I thought were very good. Let's see if you agree with me. This is the poll up on Twitter right now. Yeah, I'm surprised by this, I have to say. I'm very surprised that that thumbs up is not stronger. It is overall a thumbs up show. I mean, you guys gave it 55%. We've got almost 1,300 votes in already, which is, honestly, more votes at the, I mean, the poll's only been up for about, an hour and a half. Usually by now, there's a lot more votes. I didn't even think we'd get that many. It didn't feel like there was a whole lot of interest in this pay-per-view coming into the show tonight. So we have 1,300 votes so far, 55.7% thumbs up, 24% thumbs in the middle, and about 19% of you have given this show a thumbs down. But I will say, I am surprised. I expected the thumbs up to be a little bit better than that. But you can vote at Solomonster if you're wondering, where is this poll? Because my handle, for some reason, is blurred at the top of the page there. But it is at Solomonster. That is where you can go. At Solomonster on Twitter is the place to go. For those of you, by the way, who missed it, episode 755. Of the Sound Off, 2-hour Sound Off dropped earlier today. covered a lot of ground, not just Backlash predictions, but a lot of AEW stuff as well. The news on Roderick Strong wanting out of WWE and them saying no. But I also talked about the Tammy Sitch story. And I don't think I can be any more blunt than I was on the show today. I made it very clear what I think of Tammy Sitch and the update on her situation and what my great fear now is going forward. So that is a segment not to miss. That was on the show today. And also, I had a lot to say about Tessa Blanchard as well. So for those of you who may have missed it, you can go back and download the full show, listen to it on your commute, go on a walk or a run, go to the gym, kick back, relax, and spend your day with the sound off. I'm going to spend my evening now with you. I'm going to spend my night with you here for a little bit. As long as we got messages, because we got super chats to go through here. We got your messages to go through here. And I thank all of you for sending them on in. Let's see. Who are we going to begin with here? We got to go back to the very first person, and the very first person was our boy, Naif. Hey, Jesse, what's going on, Jesse? Jesse Cam. And Temjin Zephyr, two of our channel members. You know how I know that? Because you guys got the spiffy green names with the little badges next to your name. That's what you get when you're a channel member. I could see you. You guys stand out. Thank you, guys. But Naif, thank you very much for the double super chat drop. Groovy Goose. Another backlash without Joey Styles, I take. Yes, I said in the chat earlier, you took my joke. You took my joke. I was going to lead off the show with it. I said, I can't do it now. I got to cut it out now. You took my joke. You stole my thunder. But I went with it anyway. Dry chicken without flavor. $5 super chat. I will admit, Charlotte versus Ronda I Quit match was better than Sheeta and Deeb Philly Street Fight. I will give the match credit for imagination. You know, I don't think there was much imagination. I think it was a better match than WrestleMania, and I do think it was better than the match with Sheeta and Deeb, for sure. But I don't know, creativity. I don't really see where the creativity comes into play in that match. They hit each other with kendo sticks. They brawled into the crowd. We've seen Ronda, you know, put the armbar on. The only thing, she put the armbar on with Charlotte's arm in a chair. You can call that creative, I guess, but I don't know. To me, all of these matches, now that we see these extreme rules matches in WWE and the hardcore matches in AEW, there's very little anymore that's really imaginative or creative about them. They're all very much the same. We've got our boy Randy Bobandi dropping a $9.99 super chat. Randy Bobandi, what's up? Do you think Edge using the crossface as his signature submission move now as a tribute to Benoit, since they were friends and tag team champions, instead of his old submission move, the Educator? I don't even remember the Educator. And no, I don't think it's a tribute to Benoit at all. We've seen lots of people use the crossface. Shawn Michaels was using it for a while, right after, in fact, the Benoit stuff. I never saw that as a tribute. I just saw that as, well, he ain't using it anymore, so I'll use it. I don't think it was a tribute. He may have remembered the Benoit was his partner and use it, so I think I'll incorporate it, but a tribute, no, I don't think so. Grant Johnson, thank you for the $9.99 super chat. AEW Mark 2018, $5 super chat. Adam Scheer is All Elite thanks to MegaCon Orlando labeling him on the schedule as an AEW wrestler. I see him as the Joker. It blew up on Twitter. I will bet you that he is not. I will bet you that that was a misprint. That was a misprint, is what that was. Adam Scheer is not going to be All Elite. Adam Scheer is not going to be the Joker at Double or Nothing. Tony Khan, if nothing else, say what you want to about Tony Khan. I know he has his detractors. If nothing else, Tony Khan knows his audience. And Tony Khan is not stupid enough to make Braun Strowman the Joker in the Owen Hart tournament at Double or Nothing. I will have the most shocked expression that you have ever seen if he walks out there as the Joker at Double or Nothing. Somebody said they wanted the old Beach Break music that we used on the stream when they had the Beach Break episode of Dynamite. Well, ask and you shall receive. Yeah, that's right. He's too busy controlling his narrative. Didn't he say that he was banned or something from AEW and nobody would talk to him and he'll never work there and he was insulting the talent and... I mean, use your head. Double or Nothing, the Joker. He's a Joker, all right. You know what? You're right about that. He is a Joker. But he's not the Joker. I don't know where people come up with this stuff. Rizzo. $20 super chat. I had very little expectations for this premium live event. And I am pleasantly surprised. Very good show, and that main event was fire. Poor Bobby, though. You can only do so much with Omos. I am not seeing what Taker sees. Yes, remember, The Undertaker once told Omos, or told somebody about Omos, that he's the closest thing that he has ever seen to this company having Andre the Giant since Andre passed away. You know, it's unfortunate. As Undertaker ages, the brain starts to go, the eyes begin to go. It's just the natural progression of age as somebody gets older. I think that's what's happening with The Undertaker. Boots is very excited that Rhea Ripley joined Moo. Paul Hamilton with that $100 super chat bomb. Paul Hamilton is the king of the night. I don't think anybody's going to beat that. Paul says, under promise, but over deliver. Good rule in life. That is from the Portland pop star. Paul, thank you. And again, those are words to live by. Slipper House Extra Extra with a $4.99 super chat. Moss was mid pre-show and in ring during the match. I know it's a sin, but I'm more of a Corbin fan. He's going to become kind of like a giant bald Miz. What the fuck? Is that a compliment? A giant bald Miz? Wow. I was not expecting that comparison, but or that analogy, but a giant bald Miz. All right. Anti-M Bishop 07, $10 super chat. Oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. There were two music tracks playing simultaneously. I thought that something sounded a little weird there. Okay, anyway. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for pointing that out. Boy, you were getting like fucking club solo monster there. You were getting multiple tracks going at once. What is Moo? Moo is the mountain of omnipotence, which is what some people apparently thought Edge's faction would be called before they actually got the name Judgment. Who do we got here? Anti-M Bishop 07. Evening Solomonster, Backlash was a good watch tonight. Giving it its due. Madcap and Happy should have been pre-show. Very weak, but good match. The main event was great. And yes, Impact had a great pay-per-view as well. I put over the Impact Under Siege main event on the podcast today. Very good match. Excellent match between Josh Alexander and Tomohiro Ishii. I don't get to watch Impact very much, but I saw Ishii was going to be in the main event. I said I have to watch. And not surprisingly, they had a kick-ass match. So, props to Impact for that main event last night. I heard the Briscoes also won the Impact Tag Team titles. They are also the reigning Ring of Honor. They're the reigning House of Glory Tag Team Champions as well. So, they have all the gold. Markel, what's going on, Markel? $1.99. Got his bachelor's degree today. Well, salute. Salute, salute, salute to Markel. Congratulations, buddy. I'm happy for you. It's very cool. I forgot, you know, this is that time of year. People have graduation. Shin Akuma, $5 super chat. I enjoyed this show overall, even though I fall asleep on Raw most weeks, can never finish the main event, but I come back every Monday. Don't we all? We've got Dr. Scorpio, not wrestling related, but do you remember the foreign show that you recommended me to watch on Netflix months ago? I just recently joined tonight. I've suggested a lot of foreign language shows. I don't know if you're thinking of Alice in Borderland, maybe? I mean, I watched Squid Game and I was looking for something similar and somebody turned me on to that show. If that's what you were thinking about, it's called Alice in Borderland. That might have been it. It's a very good show. Joseph Brooks, $9.99. Is it me or was Mick Foley in 96 the slimmest he had ever been in his entire career? Also, as strong as they booked him coming into WWE in 96, do you think he could have won the belt or was it too soon? No, he could have won. It just was the wrong time. Shawn was going to get his run, so the timing just didn't work out. But yeah, Mick, I think he said this, that he was in the best shape of his life for that Mind Games match with Shawn Michaels. I don't think he was ever as slim as he was in that match. Sean Plichta, $19.99. Super chat. Solomonster, miss listening to you, man. Always appreciate your insight. You miss listening to I'm on every week. All you got to do is tune in. I'm always here, man. I never went anywhere. But thank you, Sean. I appreciate the $19.99 there from Sean. We've got Juan Ocampo. This show is what Jim Cornette says, lazy booking. Dry chicken without flavor. Thank God Omos didn't do a tope suicida while Lashley was distracted. I'm telling you, if this was Dynamite, he absolutely would have. Bobby's World, 2110, 1992. The Ric Flair Royal Rumble Super Chat. Sounds like I missed a pretty good show due to work, but here, as always, for the review, acknowledge the like button. Yes, hit that like button. Harold Warren, $30 Bully the Clown Super Chat. The booking in the WWE, to be very blunt, is nothing more than dumpster fire. No wonder AEW is beating the WWE in the demos. Well, I'm not getting into this whole debate with ratings and demos because all that is in this community anymore is just pure. It's just like a fucking disease. You start bringing up that shit and forget about it. It's like a world war breaks out. Nuclear war breaks out. Grant Johnson with the 1999. Please, please, please. A Finn and AJ tag team. And when the Edge group feud is over, they become the advisories to Usos and support for Cody as he enters his program with the Bloodline. Please. Advisories? Like a wealth manager or something? Wealth manager Finn Balor? You put him in a suit. Tells you what stocks and bonds to buy. Tells you to open up an IRA. That could be his new gimmick. I'm not so sure that would be much worse than what they've been doing with him on TV. GCC305, Solomonster just made me pop at work with that El Hijo Del Fiend comment. Thank you for that and this review as well, since I did not watch the pay-per-view. Well, you're very welcome. GCC again. I think that was a double donation. Thank you, GCC. I will thank you twice, since there were two super chats. Bob the Builder. There was a Cody promo for Money in the Bank where he said the winner main events WrestleMania. Is this something new the WWE will do to make Money in the Bank feel big? I did not. When the commercial came on for Money in the Bank, I stepped away. So I don't know what he said. Is that what he said? I did not hear what he said. By the way, all of the channel members, all you guys with the green tags in the chat, you also have access to all those sweet emojis. So you can pop some of those custom emojis in the chat, too, if you'd like. Oofman Entertainment with the $5. According to WebMD, full distal radius fracture recovery generally takes about a year. So is Charlotte gone for a while? No, she's not gone for that long. Look, people have recovered from far worse injuries in record time on TV. So they could say that she's got a fractured whatever and she'll be back in 3 weeks. I mean, they could pretty much do whatever they want. I mean, in fact, they would have her come back early because then they can say it's just a miraculous recovery. This woman is absolutely unbelievable. She's come back faster than anybody has ever come back from this type of injury before. It's just another thing to put on her resume. Groovy Goose sent a $1.99 super chat. You are like our Dr. Melfi of wrestling. I thank you. I've never been compared to Dr. Melfi before. That's definitely new. I don't have legs like Dr. Melfi. Dr. Melfi had better legs than I do. Thank you. Rizzo, $20 super chat. They did show the tag that he tagged the Uso's leg. Okay, so then it was like a blind tag. All right. I said maybe it was a blind tag and I didn't see it. So he's saying that Roman was the legal man. I'll take your word for it. No cap. Seth Rollins turning babyface against Reigns would be amazing. Orton is champion. I can get behind. Well, remember, I mean, the issue with Rollins and Reigns after the Royal Rumble was never resolved. So they could always come back to Rollins at the appropriate time if he's ready to go babyface. Meaty Sentai VA. Voice actors. Yeah, I remember. Spreading love like Rhea. Okay. Shin Akuma, $5 super chat. The beach break music from the Dynamite stream needs to come back. Well, I gave that to you, so you should be very happy. I just played it for like 10 minutes for you. That was just for you. It's not even summertime yet. You gotta wait. You gotta wait until, you know, it's like 80 degrees outside. I told you, I'll bring back the towel. I'll bring back the little suntan lotion on the nose. Thank you, Shin. Raging Texas, 85. Does WWE do a complete 180 after Vince is gone? No. Not right away, because his minions will still be there running. It would take time to see exactly how different WWE would look. It's not going to be some kind of instantaneous change. Plus Ultra Adrian, $5 super chat. Haven't been here in a while. Just wanted to say hello. I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much. Hey, look. It's Naked Sala Monster from WWE 2K22. People are very upset that I changed my entrance and actually put clothes on now. They want me to go back to being naked. You people are sick. Steven Escalante Gonzalez. Can I get a shout out for my birthday on May 10th? Should I? Oh, what? Happy birthday, Steve. You didn't tell me how old you're turning. But happy birthday to Steven. I hope you have a great day. We've got King Bling Blah. Can WWE turn Bloodline face? Are fans turning him? Turning the Bloodline face. I don't see it. Not before Roman loses the championship. Maybe after, but beforehand, I don't see it. Dr. NXT Scorpio, instead of watching Raw now, I'm going to start watching foreign shows, mainly Japanese or Chinese, and call it Foreign Mondays. Okay. I don't know why you have to limit yourself just to Mondays. Steven, with the $4.99, since the Trios champions are coming to AEW, can you see Roman and Seth going to AEW when their contract expires to reunite with John on a final run with the Shield? No. Rizzo, $5 super chat. I think we all laugh when you get a weird super chat and it's like you just say, all right, not reading that. Well, thank you, Rizzo. Yeah, some of them are just a little out there. But thank you, Rizzo, for the $5, man. Thank you, sir. I think we are all caught up right now. I believe we are caught up, except for our boy West Coast James just chimed in with the 10 spot. What's going on, James? I believe that's Hollywood Herrera from the podcast, from the PayPal shouts. No cap, $4.99. Solomon Monster in Ezekiel gear for WWE 2K White Meat Babyface. I'm the White Meat Babyface in the game. I'm getting over. Every week, I got to get back. I was so busy this week. I have to get back to My Rise this week. So we'll get back to Sound Off Gamer. And I think also that I still have characters in the game that I haven't unlocked. I was wondering, how is Shawn Michaels not in this game? I mean, he's at the Performance Center in My Rise mode, you know, fucking me over every week. But like a playable character. How can you have Bret Hart and not have Shawn Michaels? And then apparently you have to play Showcase, Rey Mysterio Showcase mode, I think, to unlock him and Eddie Guerrero and some other people. So maybe at some point we'll jump into showcase mode as well. Young boy, yes. Young boy Solo Monster. Before we go on here, let me switch on over to one of your favorite segments. I know you were waiting. Let's see how we do tonight on Backlash Night for Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
It is Be the Booker time, where we try to book ourselves a quality main event. A quality main event. We're going to see how Solo Monster does when I randomly attempt to book a men's match, a men's main event, and a women's main event. I've booked some pretty good ones over the last week. I'm hoping to continue the momentum that I have had. I don't want to ruin a good thing. We had a pretty good pay-per-view tonight. Let's see if I can match it. On the men's side, we begin with maybe the greatest to never have held the WWE Championship. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah, Beowulf, I know. 390 likes and still with over 1,200 in. I don't know what more I could do. But usually people will like it on the archive version. I there's nothing I can do. People are going to like it or they're not. I don't know what else I can do. But Roddy Piper, not a bad way to start out Be the Booker. Let's see who he's going to be stepping into the ring with here. Who is Hot Rod going to be going toe-to-toe with? It'll be Rowdy Roddy Piper one-on-one with Dave Meltzer. There he is, folks. There's the Rainmaker. Rainmaker Dave. Rainmaker Meltzer. There he is. Feet up on the desk. Dollar bills in his hand. Roddy Piper against Dave Meltzer. Money Man Meltzer. Look at this guy. Look at this. Is this guy not a star? This guy should be headlining the Tokyo Dome every year. Good old Uncle Dave. What do you think Piper in his prime would do to Meltzer? Meltzer driver for the win. I agree. I think he would give himself 10 stars. He would shatter the scale for this match. Why is Dave even in there? Well, maybe you didn't pay attention when I debuted the brand new Be the Booker, because there are a few Easter eggs in there. That includes some wrestling journalists and even some podcasters that are part of this thing. So pay attention. I made that very clear when I debuted the new Be the Booker. So, yeah, that was an interesting one, I guess you could say, on the men's side. Let's switch over to the ladies. Switch over to the ladies here. We begin with Luda Vachon. Also, you know, very underrated during her run in WWE. Did not get the recognition and the success I think that she deserved. Luna Vachon, a legend, a Hall of Famer, Luna Vachon. Luna will be going one-on-one with, I forgot her name. Tommy Dreamer's wife. What the fuck is her name? Oh, Beulah. Oh, my God. I couldn't remember her name. I'm staring at her face. I go, who is this woman? I know who she is, but her name just escaped my mind there for a second. It's been happening to me a lot lately. Has it ever happened where you want to go to a website and you open up a new tab in your browser? And then I say, why did I open a new tab? What website did I want to go to? Like 5 seconds later, I'll completely forget. This has been happening to me more and more. I'm starting to get worried. But yeah, Luna and Beulah is not a winning combination. Man, I have taken the L tonight. Holy shit. And I spoke too soon when I talked about how well I've been doing with this. And then look at these two matches here. Piper and Meltzer, Luna and Beulah. I don't know. Yeah, at least it's not Sunny. She is in there, by the way. Tammy Sitch is in. Or Sunny, I guess. Sunny is in the Be the Booker as well. Thank God it wasn't her. She should never be booked again for the rest of her life. Two duds. Well, look. The streak was bound to end at some point. You can't all be winners. I am working, by the way, in a tag team Be the Booker. So just be patient with me. There will be a tag team Be the Booker coming soon. We'll be able to have some fun with that. I'm getting like Faz Coasters may have the best comment of the night. Solo Monster is getting like Undertaker with his brain. Oh my God. I think what's happening to Undertaker when he makes stupid comments like that, like he did about Omos, I think it's happening with me. Only Undertaker's a lot older than I am. Undertaker's like almost 20 years older than I am. So that's bad. I mean, it's Undertaker should be, you know, kind of having brain farts like that. That shouldn't be happening to me. Bob the Builder says, I think that's the new tagline for Money in the Bank. Doesn't really make sense, though. You're telling me that the new tagline for Money in the Bank is that the winner goes to the main event of WrestleMania. Am I understanding that correctly? Because Money in the Bank is in July, so I don't understand what one would have to do with the other. Dr. Scorpio. So far, we are barely over 500 now, thanks to those matches that we booked. We had a good batting average, and it went down a bit tonight. It did go down a little bit tonight, but we're going to come back strong next week. I think Wednesday night we're going to come back strong. Casey in the chat says, Raquel is a monster challenger for Ronda. Well, we'll see. Raquel has yet to wrestle a single match on SmackDown. That's why I wasn't really thinking about her, because she hasn't even debuted yet. And right now, it looks like she's going to be... Actually, no, she did have a match. What am I talking about? She just had a match the other night. It was like a quick squash last week, I think it was. Anyway, the point is, I'm telling you, my brain, there's something going on here. I just watched her have a squash match on SmackDown either Friday or the week before. But I think it's too soon for that. But in due time, absolutely. Absolutely. Preferably a heel Raquel Gonzalez challenging Ronda Rousey. Yes, absolutely. But I just don't think that's going to happen right now. Groovy Goose, thank you, man. I will see you on Wednesday. We got Jacob Dearmore chiming in here with a $10 super chat. Since this is a WrestleMania Backlash review, what are some matches that you are surprised we never got to see? What are some matches that we never, just in general, like matches we never got to see? I mean, I can name a whole bunch of them. Shawn Michaels and The Rock. Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero. Kurt Angle and Bret Hart. Oh, gosh. You know, when Mr. Perfect came back to WWE, He came into the company at the same time Kurt Angle was there. And he was there for over a year before he got fired. Actually, no, he wasn't even there a full year, right? He got fired, I would say it was probably about four or five months after he came back. I think he got fired after the plane ride from hell. But there was that period of a few months. They could have had a TV match with Mr. Perfect and Kurt Angle, and we never got it, which is kind of a shame. I mean, Hennig at that point wasn't the same Hennig he was, you know, 10 years earlier. But it's a shame we never got that as a match because they were there at the same time, and we just never got to see it. But, I mean, we can go all day with matches we thought we would get that we never did. I mean, it's still crazy to me that when Ric Flair came into WWF the first time, he was hitting all the house shows, you know, wrestling Roddy Piper, but we never got them on TV. And they shot at least one angle on TV with Piper and Flair, you know, brawling. Never had a television match, not even on like a Saturday night's main event or something. That surprised me also. We should have gotten Piper and Flair on TV. So Jacob says he's talking about WrestleMania matches. Well, then that goes to what I mentioned before. Rock and Michaels, Michaels and Eddie. Hogan and Austin, Undertaker and Sting, John Cena and Randy Orton, one-on-one. Never had a singles match at WrestleMania. It's hard to believe. Samoan fan, what is Hall and Oates? You need to do a Google search and you need to look it up and you can thank me later. They're one of the greatest bands of all time. Hall and Oates. Shin Akuma with the 20 spot. Just finished watching The Undertaker destroy the hardest before Christmas. Haha. Was the Butch really worth it? I think Shin's been drinking. I think he's been hitting those stone cold, broken skull IPAs, or maybe the American lager. I think he's been hitting those lagers today. That's what I think. Hey, Shin, thank you, though, brother. I have no idea what you were saying in that super chat, but I do appreciate you supporting the stream. Buy or sell on the better title match, Shawn Michaels against Mankind or Bret Hart against the 1-2-3 Kid? I would go Bret and the 1-2-3 Kid, but they were both excellent matches. Is Noah Mark in Be the Booker? Noah Mark's voice can be heard at the beginning of Be the Booker. He is not in Be the Booker. But his voice is the one who does the introduction for the segment. So shout out to Noah Mark. Nir. Look at that. We got Nir joining us all the way from Israel saying, hey, yo. Hey, yo. Hey, Nir, I hope you're feeling good. What is your favorite beer currently? I don't think I have a current favorite beer. I pretty much, you know, I go somewhere and they put beer in front of me and I drink it. That's pretty much how I roll. Skywalker, $4.99. As a Mets fan, what's more embarrassing, the Bobby Bonilla contract or owing $45 million to Robinson Cano, who no longer plays for the Mets? Bobby Bonilla. How could you even compare the two? Steve Cohen is our new owner. He's going to eat that shit like nothing. He's going to eat that the Cano contract because it's the right thing to do. Bobby Bonilla, we have to hear about Bobby Bonilla every fucking year until like 2030. You tell me what's more embarrassing. Juan Ocampo, we need an official Sound Off mug. The Hofstra mug has to go. Oh, this is old school right here. We do need a Sound Off mug. I just have to figure out where to get one made. And it'll just be for me. Since Pro Wrestling Tees doesn't allow mugs to be made. As a Phillies fan, it should have been the last game of the season meltdown of 07. That was pretty embarrassing. Yes, Buck Showalter is the new skipper for the Mets. He's the Mets manager this season. LOL, what do you want? Solomonster, beer. Which one? Beer. I'm telling you, I'm a simple man here. I try not to keep things too complicated. Oh, it's even worse. 2035. I stand corrected. That's when the Bobby Bonilla contract is officially over. 2035. And for those who don't know, is Bobby Bonilla used to play for the Mets. And they restructured his contract. It was a whole thing at the end of his run in New York. And the way they structured it is that he is going to continue to be paid $1 million every single year until the year 2035. He's long since retired. Many, many, many years retired. And all he has to do is go cash his check once a year. He gets $1 million. It's not bad work if you can get it. I don't blame him. Samoan fan. You should add Claire Lynch to be the booker. Again, how do you know she's not already in there? Michael wants a Solomonster mug. We may have to arrange something. We may have to open up a separate store. If there's enough interest. We might just have to do that. Am I a Modelo or a Corona guy? Answer depends if you get invited to the carne asada in the summer. Corona. How would I feel about a Subway Series in the World Series? I don't care as long as we win. Doesn't matter to me. KGB 24 with the $5 super chat. Backlash 2000, in my opinion, is the best backlash event of all time. Do you agree? Off the top of my head, I believe you are correct. I think you're right about that. Backlash 2000 was a very good show. Lola Morocho, $1.99. Styles against Benoit. Who is the better wrestler? Styles against Benoit. Who is the better wrestler? You know, I think I might go Styles on that one. I might have to buy on AJ. Don Juan, thank you for the shout out on the podcast when reviewing NXT. I am the real Don. Well, you're very welcome. You got the unintended shout out. Enjoy hot dogs instead, buddy. Just kidding. You're always invited to the barbecue or carne asada anytime. Well, thank you. I will grab my flip-flops and be on the way. Yeah, Backlash 2000 was basically what WrestleMania should have been that year. That is true. Is Solomonster in Be the Booker? Yes. All right, guys, this has been fun. Again, for those of you who may have missed it, tonight turned out to be a very good show on the whole. It's amazing what happens when you set your expectations low and have really virtually no expectations coming into the show. But the matches that on paper should have been strong were strong. We got a lot of matches tonight that were better than their originals at WrestleMania this year. And I am still surprised by this poll. I thought the thumbs up would be maybe in the 60s. And it's hovering right now right around 55% thumbs up. That's what you guys have given Backlash. You have made it a thumbs up show, but by the slimmest of margins. 25% thumbs in the middle, roughly 20% thumbs down. If you missed it, idiot. The podcast earlier today, 2 hours, episode 755. Go check it out. It's on Podbean. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can listen on Spotify. And Google Podcasts, all the usual platforms. There'll be the usual clips going up on YouTube this week. And I will be back with you live again on Wednesday night. AW Dynamite is in Long Island. And we have the beginning of the Owen Hart Men's Tournament. Jeff Hardy one-on-one against Darby Allin. We've got CM Punk in action, and there's a bunch of other stuff scheduled for the show as well. Actually, there's Adam Cole against Dax Harwood, and they're going to be doing the first match of the women's tournament, the Owen Hart women's tournament as well. So some good stuff coming up on Dynamite Wednesday night. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves. I hope you had a fantastic Mother's Day. It's over now, but hopefully those of you who were able to had the opportunity to spend some time with your mom. Now, Fightful has a Charlotte update, I am being told. So, actually, before we get out of here, don't go nowhere. Let me check here live on the air and see if, in fact, there is some kind of a news update on Charlotte Flair. Let's see. Well, there is some kind of an update here. Let's see what the update is. All right, so we have some news. Look at this. You caught me right before I was about to go off the air. We have some news on Charlotte Flair. Now, remember what I said earlier? I said that that storyline injury, the nature of the injury, just reeked of a vacation. It reeked of a storyline television write-off to me. This is the update from Fightful Select. WWE Creative was told that Charlotte would be taking a little time off, and a kayfabe injury angle was set up for WrestleMania Backlash. It's unknown exactly how long Charlotte will be out of action. So that's the update. I basically already gave you the update without even reading the update. I already told you this earlier. So yes, Charlotte Flair is in fact going to be taking some time off from television, which I think most of us watching the pay-per-view kind of expected. And I think it's good for all involved, I think, for her to go away for a while. So, Shin Akuma, when the Sala Monster would review DVDs, a good episode was the Thy Kingdom Come Triple H review. Yeah, for those of you who are not aware, there's actually a bunch of DVD reviews up on the channel from many years ago. It's been a while since I've done one, but that was one of them. There were other DVD reviews as well. There was an old AJ Styles shoot interview once that I reviewed. There's book reviews. If you dig back on the channel, you can find some of that older content. It's there. It's there for all of you to go check out. All right, so that's the update on Charlotte. And now we are out of here for real. So again, thank you for all the support. Do hit that like button on the way out. And I will see you live back here on YouTube on Wednesday night. I want to see you right back here. I'm not going to be at the building. For those who asked, I'm not going to Long Island. I'm going to be right here. I have a job to do. I'm going to be with you. So I expect to see you there. Until then, take care, guys.